own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And that's a familiar passage to us. Now, I'm just going to read this paragraph yet. We look at the principle of leadership from this passage in the last chapter, but it also shares much about the spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, I notice there he uses a small s. What would the spirit of Jesus Christ be?
His earthly spirit.
But it'd also be the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? Wouldn't his spirit also involve the Holy Spirit? I don't know, it's a little hard to know for sure there, but I notice he uses, but his spirit there, the spirit of Jesus. There are four principles in this passage that show us what it is, what it was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that made him the most influential leader of all time. Three, and we've got four things we want to look at here today. Three of these elements that we must allow God to develop supernaturally in us. That's going to take the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The three things we're going to look at, that is, the Holy Spirit is going to need to work in us as godly leaders. The fourth is a joyful byproduct of living God's way. And so, we're going to look at those four things here today. All right. The first one here is, we must have a submissive spirit. Now, this has came up before, but we're dealing with it here some more. This is what is so different as a godly leader, is that it says we must have a submissive spirit. Now, that don't mean we just let everybody walk all over us, it doesn't matter what happens and that sort of thing. Not talking about that. But he's just talking about as Christ. We think, and Christ is giving this example here of this submissive spirit. Now, one of the things that I think we miss sometimes in this whole area of feet washing, and when Jesus did this with his disciples, is the context of some of the things that had been happening. One of the things that had been happening that night there at that supper was the disciples were debating who is the greatest. Who's the greatest here? Who's got the most high position here next to Jesus? Jesus is dealing with that. And we can read in some of the other Gospels and so on some of the things that he said to them. But let's keep that in context of this washing the feet. But also, let's keep in context some of the things it says in this passage. What did Jesus know? What things did he know there in this passage?
He knew that his hour was come.
What else?
Simon would betray him. Judas.
Yeah. He knew that one of his was going to betray him.
All things were given into his hand. He had been given authority.
Okay. All things had been given into his hand. And what else? That he came from God, and he was going to go to God. Okay. Those are four quite tremendous things.
Peter denied him.
He probably knew that too. He doesn't mention that specifically here, but yeah. Now, let me ask you something. If last night, about 10 o'clock, you all of a sudden discovered that you was being given $10 million. All of a sudden it came out last night that you inherited, or in some way, you ended up with $10 million. Would you be here this morning?
I don't want $10 million.
You don't want $10 million. Yeah. Or that, you know, I'm just...
I'd be here, but I have a big smile on my
face. You what?
I'd be here, but I have a big smile on my face.
All right. I was just trying to put this in perspective. Of all the things, those four things that we just listed here that he knew, why did he end up doing what he did? You know, you think of it. All power was given to him. He knew that one of them was going to betray him, and all those things. And he turns around, and I as I read that passage, I get this is kind of the basis for what he did. And it's just, you know, when you look at it in that way, you think, why? What? I mean, do we understand a little better why we look at Jesus as the ultimate leader? You know, when we really stop and think about that. Any comments on that? Ray.
I knew a man. He's passed on. A lot of you knew him as well. Glenn worked for a dead man. I think he was hurt now. Raymond Prince Burler. Back when we had left here, we were searching for him. We were thinking about moving to Napanee. So we attended that. That's where he was a member. And he's a very wealthy man. I mean, I've often had study on behalf of Napanee. And he, you know, I was nobody. I mean, I couldn't do anything for him. And yet he always had time to talk to me. I was not anybody that, yeah, like I said, I couldn't do anything for him. In any way, shape, or form. And he would take time to talk to me just like anybody else. And I told myself then, if I would ever, like you talked about today, inherit this $10 million, if I would ever become a rich man, I would want to be like him. Mm-hmm. He was an example of this, what we're talking about today. He was just a common man. Mm-hmm. And
but that impresses a person, doesn't it?
No matter what he did, no matter what he chose to do.
So the focus has to be on other people rather than on ourselves, our position, doesn't it? Right. That's a very good point. Yeah. So we need. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what we also need, isn't it? See? Yeah. Very good. And I read one time about I'm not sure even where I read it or who it was, but he was quite a well known ball player, and I don't remember if it was football or what it was. And professional, and he was a Christian, and had a game on Saturday night, and I think it was a championship game. Won the game. He was probably one of the main players in it, and people looked up to him as probably one of them that helped win the game. And whoever was writing this said went to the same church that he did. And he said he was so surprised that the next morning, this man, him and his wife were working in the nursery at church. And he said that impressed him. That was his responsibility. And he did it, just didn't matter what happened on Saturday night. And this is what he's talking about, you know, that submissive spirit that we need in our lives, and how important it is. You know, the disciples, there was this whole thing of washing feet, and you know they probably had a little different situation. It sounded like they rented this room, or they had somebody gave them this room, and did the host, was he there? But evidently nobody had washed their feet, and the disciples, they should have taken that upon themselves to wash Jesus' feet at least. And maybe they were too busy thinking about, I'm too important for that. You know, let one of the others do it. And instead of and doing it. And I just had to think, what better lesson could Jesus have given to them than what he did? You know, it was a lesson that he gave, and I tell you, it's one that we still remember, isn't it? You think they washed their feet before they went to that? Evidently they have. I doubt if they did.
Their feet, because Jesus did it, and it must have been dusty. You know, yeah. Even with sandals, it says they wear their feet still get dusty.
Yeah.
And he washed their feet, and it said that when I heard the lesson, it said that not one of them considered him washing Jesus' feet.
Yeah. What a submissive spirit. Yeah.
And he showed how a true servant should be. Mm-hmm. And, it was a good example.
Yeah.
And, it's an example for us for our life. Mm-hmm. That we be a true servant. If we're a servant of God, then we're going to be a servant to people.
To others, yeah. Difference between day and night, about it.
Yeah, but it's I think the scripture is trying to show
Speak out. I'm having a little hard time here. Somebody want to answer that?
Well, we have to submit ourselves to the Spirit. And the Spirit's there, but are we willing to accept that we have to submit ourselves to it?
If we can train ourselves to do it, we don't need God.
Okay. All right. It is something that has to come, but we have to be willing to do it. But the empowering of it has to come from the Holy Spirit. What is what?
What is repentance? That's turning away from sin, right? Mm-hmm. And so we do as much as we can, and always relying on God's Spirit to help us fulfill that commitment to change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can't do it without the Spirit. I mean, there's
a commitment on our part of this thing of having this type of the Spirit.
Kind of like we go out and start our car. If we're not willing to turn the key, it's not going to start. The power's there, but we have to be willing to access it.
You know, and sometimes those steps are scary to begin with. Mm-hmm. When we're first learning, as a new Christian, some of those things are scary. We committed to serving Him.
That kind of brings up, this may be a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it's kind of a going with what you're saying there, Ray. Let me ask you something. Is it okay to pretend sometimes that, I'll use the illustration this way. Sometimes people say, you know, I just can't love my wife. Would it be okay if you pretended to love her?
The answer to that, I'm thinking about this, to do something that does not come natural, the more we do it and we realize, and it's his last point in this lesson, happy are ye if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more we do some of those things that may not come natural to us, we realize the joy that comes to us. Mm-hmm. That is a motivation to continue to do that. That might be an answer.
You know, pretending might be, we might, instead of saying pretend, just simply go by faith and do it.
That's
right. See? I think we make a mistake when we say, you know, I'm going to have to understand this before I do it. You know, something that the Bible tells us. And we make a mistake when we do that. If the Bible tells us to do it, then I think we can do it, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into understanding. If we're willing to do it. But if we say, I'm not going to do this until I understand it. I refuse to do it. I think we're missing out on something there.
I think the blessings come as we do.
As we do, yeah.
Not before.
But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's power.
But I think the way it works is the Holy Spirit speaks it to us. We choose whether we want to listen or not. Mm-hmm. You know, if he says, why don't you submit here? And I say, no, I'm not doing that now. Then we're not going. Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was, he made a good point in here as we get on down here toward, he quotes from Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and so on. And then he talks about Jesus himself as a child being submissive. And he goes over and quotes, he goes over in Luke 2, 51 and 52. And somebody have that right in front of them? Or, no, you don't have it in front of you, but you find that, Luke 2, 51 and 52. And just read there what Jesus did as a boy. This is after he'd been to Jerusalem and so on and stayed at the temple.
He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Okay. See, we get a glimpse of this submissiveness right already as a child, don't we? As a young man. And you know, I think that it's important, and we have fathers here, a lot of fathers and so on. I think it's important to teach our children that. I think it's something that we need to teach them, that submissive spirit. How do we do that?
To give our will up.
How do we teach? So you're saying that's how we do it, to teach our children. How do we teach our children a submissive spirit? We have to model it, don't we? Yeah. And they know. They know. I don't care how much we would try to hide it. They know. If we don't have the proper attitude toward authorities and so on in our lives, they don't want it. They pick it up. Probably one of the best sermons I heard on this was preached here this past winter. I wasn't here, but I listened to it later. Was what was his name? The one from Pennsylvania.
Clayton Shank.
And I don't know. Maybe you remember that. Really talked about that, how that we as fathers model that to our children. And, you know, they pick it up very quickly. So, okay, let's go on. Time is moving on here. And the next thing we need to have is a sensitive spirit. We're over on page 62 now. We need to have a sensitive spirit, and he goes here. He talks about this same passage here, John 13, and he says, "Having loved his own, which were in the world," and his focus here was on his disciples, and his focus was on. Remember, the context here is this whole area of who's the greatest. And they deserved a good scolding, didn't they? Didn't they? I mean, they deserved a good chewing out. If anybody did, the way they were acting. They'd been with him 3 years, and they should have known better. Is that what he did? You know, his interest was not in giving them a good chewing out and making himself feel better. And sometimes that's what we do, don't we? You know, we can chew somebody out and, well, I got that off of my chest. But his real goal was, what is really the best to teach a lesson for these disciples? And in that, he himself humbled himself. He was very sensitive to what they needed. And through that then, he humbled himself and washed their feet. And so I think that's what he's saying here. As a leader, We need to understand. Now, there's times somebody needs a scolding. You know, there's a probably proper place for that, and so on. But what is really needed for that person's benefit, I think, is what we need to keep in mind, not what relieves my frustrations. And sometimes, as dads and leaders and so on, sometimes we can vent ourselves and get it off of our chest and we feel better. But as godly leaders, our goal should be what is going to work the best in this person's life. I think that's kind of what I got out of this, of being a sensitive leader. You know, any comments on that?
What stops us from being that kind of a leader?
Of the godly leader?
Of the
sensitive. What stops us from being a sensitive leader? Okay. What does?
Selfishness.
Selfishness?
Mm-hmm.
Pride. Self-focus.
We get so wrapped up in ourselves and our priorities and our needs that we forget to look on the things of others.
Yeah.
I think this fits in here. I was wondering, does it matter what we submit ourselves to? I mean, I know there's a ditch on both sides of the road there, but I'm thinking of Mary and Martha. When they, that little story with Mary and Martha, Martha was busy in the kitchen. She's out trying to help her. Martha was being submissive to the needs of the group. She was serving the group. And Jesus said, Mary's doing a good thing. She submitted herself to me. She's at my feet listening. Is it good to pay attention to what we're submitting ourselves to?
Okay. The things that are really important. Mm-hmm. Any other comments on that, Phil?
I just think I can find myself submitting myself to things that aren't good. Mm-hmm. They're not good for me.
And doesn't that usually, when we boil that all down, sort of focus on self? You know, I know that you used that illustration of Mary and Martha. And one of the things I've thought of in that, you know, in a sense, Jesus sort of rebuked her there a little bit, didn't he? But did you notice, one thing I've noticed, when Jesus comes back, where Lazarus died, and Jesus comes back, and Martha goes out and meets him, she declares, "You are the Christ." And maybe there, with that rebuke, made her stop and do some thinking. Who is this? And maybe she took some time and sat, you know. So what Jesus said there was what she needed. But I noticed at that same time, she was also serving. There was another time she was serving too. And I think Mary was washing Jesus' feet with her tears or wiping with her hair. But I've noticed that with Martha.
Another thing might be the fact that we've been able to deserve it.
The fact that we what?
Might deserve our submission or our sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is the other morning I was going to work in early and come past the middle lake here. Somebody out there with a flashlight, somebody, and try to stop me. And one of my colleagues, well,
I've never had that kind of reaction. Yeah. Speak up, please, so the others can hear, too.
Pardon?
I say speak up so everybody can hear. Yeah.
Anyhow, the religious leaders walked by him, and it says they even turned their head away from him. And then I had to think of a Samaritan that came through and saw the need of that person. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I have to think of, you know, how often we walk by people,
yeah,
and we see their need and we just go on our way.
Easy to do. I've got to be in the church. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next one then. And it says there that we need to have a sacrificial spirit. And it says he loved them unto the end there in John 13. He loved them to the end. In other words, no matter what it cost, he loved them. And his ultimate sacrifice there was the cross, wasn't it? And so a godly leader is going to experience having to sacrifice or willing to sacrifice. It's just going to be involved in that. And I think there again, it comes back to self. Are we willing to give up the things that I would really like to do in order to lead, in order to serve? It's going to cost. I don't care. I don't care what we think. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost money. It could cost reputation. It could cost a lot of different things. But there is going to be sacrifice involved. So we're not going to be able to be godly leaders without that. And it's going to have to give up ourselves, what we really like to do. Any comments there?
On the different aspects of the Spirit there, it's important to know them, but I think the really importance is the empowerment of it. And I'm not sure if I can explain it all, but the empowerment of the Spirit is what causes us to be able to effectively and to go forth with energy and with effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of the life of Hudson Taylor. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not.
Sure.
He worked for years and seemingly nothing happened in China. And when he was finally empowered with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit worked through him, mm-hmm, and did marvelous things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we can do way beyond our own means through empowerment.
Right. And that's just where we need to ask God's Spirit to just give us that power and help us. We just can't do it without it. It's impossible. And then the last one there is we will have, and this is the result of the other three, we will have a satisfied spirit. And that is, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I'm going to read last part, or the last paragraph of that. The typical leader of this world looks enviously up whatever ladder he is climbing and suspiciously down. I thought that was an interesting way. He looks enviously up and suspiciously down, so he was trying to take his place. He is very much concerned that he get the credit for what goes right and that someone else gets the blame for what goes wrong. Isn't that so typical of the world's way? His attitude is contagious among those around him, producing a crowd of competitors for whatever he is trying to get. And the one thing that he is most likely to get is ulcers. You know, there's a lot of stress with that. Would you like to be satisfied in your service? Be a biblical leader. Lead with submission, sincerity, and sacrifice, and you will have a satisfied spirit. And, you know, if we really have a lot of concern about, boy, I've got to hold on to this position, and I'm afraid somebody's after my position, and all of that kind of thing, that's going to be a lot of discontent. Going to be a lot of stress in our lives. And here again, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, He gives us that assurance, He gives us that peace and power, and we say, Lord, it's up to you. I'll do what you want me to do, but it's up to you. And there's a peace in that. Okay, and we closed. There was an example there in that last part. You can read that. And about the